sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Oh, I'm so my bad. Hello, everybody.
I don't even want to know where that came from.
Welcome once again to Shooting Lights Out, where we talk all things basketball, the collegiate ranks, the men's basketball professional ranks, and the women's professional basketball ranks with the wonderful founder of Playmakers Network and the creator of Shooting Lights Out, Darnell Playmaker Silence. I am Cole Johnson, a.k.a. the Mad Scientist and the EP of EPs. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. If you're listening to us live on the Playmakers Network LinkedIn channel, thank you so much. If you're looking at us live, viewing us right now on the YouTube Playmakers Network YouTube channel, we thank you. If you're listening to us live on probably one of the happiest men that's on the planet right now on Wise's Real Wise Radio Network, thank you very much. And if you want to download this, you can do so on, I don't know, platforms like, oh, I don't know, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you can download podcasts as well. And you can also listen to us on iHeartRadio and Spotify.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't even ask him to do that.
No, he didn't.
I'm glad he did it. I ain't asking him to do it, but it works for me. So, as you know, welcome to Shooting Lights Out on this Monday.
Yes, May the second Monday in May, yes.
And those of you, want to wish you a belated happy Mother's Day to other wonderful mothers out in the world.
Yeah, and also, since we have a brother who unfortunately has had this unfortunate happenstance happen to him, those who unfortunately do not any longer have their mothers on this earth, but they have them in heaven, we send a special prayer to you and to a special one of me, of mine, because she feels that pain every year too. So to those who don't have their mothers on the planet, this is for you as well.
Hope you enjoyed all the basketball that you had this past weekend. The WNBA season is officially tipped off. And the conference finals in the NBA, conference semifinals, should I say, yeah, in the NBA, are picking up steam.
Somebody already has punched their ticket to the conference finals. So, with another one possibly doing that again, possibly doing so again as the other one who has tonight.
So we got your basketball for you today. Stick around, stay tuned. Grab you some popcorn, some chips. Maybe you actually want to eat your sandwich or have some pizza or whatever. Sit back. We got you covered. We're going to get you all your basketball information that you need today. And doing so, where do we begin?
Well, we begin, with getting your butts we're getting don't shoot no more threes. No, that's not it. I'm trying to think. Let's win the draft. No, that's not it. That's right. Around the hardwood. So we begin by somebody who possibly might have an answer to some dubious distinction. One of the top prospects in this year's NBA draft spent much of his freshman season in Kansas trying to solve mysterious and sometimes debilitating cramping. But in an extended interview with ESPN this week, Darren Peterson said that this new round of blood work and other tests after college basketball season led his doctors to conclude that his use of high doses of creatine created his unfortunate condition. Now, he said this of the popular supplement, which helps to increase muscle strength and power and growth. Quote, I'd never taken it before going to college. But after the season, I took 2 weeks off and they did tests, which shows my baseline level was already high. So they said when I dosed, the process of increasing the dose over time to create maximum benefit at the beginning of taking the supplement, it must have made the levels unsafe. Close quote. Now, why is this news? Well, Mr. Peterson is ranked as the number two prospect available in the draft next month. He said that his issues started last year with a scary episode after Kansas coach Bill Self and his annual week-long boot camp in September that sent him to the hospital via an ambulance. First, his legs started cramping, then his stomach, back, arms, and hands. Eventually, his whole body was cramping. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Please don't. Please don't.
I'm not going to go there. He said about the trip to the hospital, quote, I made it to the training room and it just started begging them to call 911. They were trying to get a vein to get me IV, get me back hydrated, but I was cramping so hard they couldn't get a vein. I thought I was going to die on the training table that day. Close quote. And finally, at the hospital, the emergency room doctors were able to get a vein and give him several bags of fluids intravenously. Now, Peterson stayed there for several hours before being treated for what doctors thought was severe dehydration. But he said when he was sore for days afterwards, he still pushed forward to play and return. The experience was far from over, though. The full body cramp was so intense, Peterson said, that he struggled to shake the fear that it could happen again. Quote, whenever I felt anything like that come on, my initial thought was that it might get to that again. And I can't let that happen and be embarrassed and have that on TV and all that. It kind of put me in a tizzy because I didn't know what was causing it. Nothing has ever been wrong with me before. I mean, basketball is my life, what I love to do. But something was going on and I couldn't figure it out. My biggest thing was I'm going to keep trying because we don't know what's wrong and we can't say something's wrong. So I'm going to go out there when it happens. I'm going to ask to come out. I don't know if it was a right or wrong move. But when I committed to Kansas, I told Coach Self, I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to try to help you get a championship. I'm going to be out there for my teammates and for you guys. So I tried to hold up my end of the deal, trying to be out there. Close quote. All right, your thoughts on Darren Peterson having possible high doses of creatine leading to a whole body cramping?
I don't know what to say, to be honest. I really don't know what to say. The only thing I can do is say, we're going to see when you get drafted and when you step foot on the WNBA court. Because if you have these same issues, you thought what you heard in college was something. You ain't hear nothing yet.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. Now, Peterson says that he's starting to feel like himself again now. I wonder why. I'm sorry. Now that he has an explanation for what causes issues with cramping. He has been training for the NBA Combine and draft in Los Angeles and hasn't had any issues since he stopped taking a creatine supplement. His focus during this period is on honing his shooting and point guard skills. In Kansas, he was often playing off the ball. He believes point guard is his best position. Well, staying in the Midwest, but going from a Big 12 school to a Big Ten school. Iowa coach Ben McCollum is finalizing his new six-year contract extension after leading the Hawkeyes on their deepest tournament run in almost 40 years. This is what sources told ESPN on Friday. I'm sorry. This is the men's side of things. In his first season at the helm, McCollum guided Iowa to a 24-13 record into the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament, including an upset win, 73-72 variety over, I can't remember the school. Help me out, Amy. They played the school. It's in Tampa. It was sometime that took place 2 months ago. What was the school?
I don't know the answer to that.
That's what I thought. a 73-72 upset victory over the region's top-seeded ranked Florida Gators in the second round of this year's tournament. The ninth seed at the Hawkeyes then knocked off Nebraska afterwards before falling to Illinois in the Elite Eight. Iowa's Elite Eight appearance, that was the program's first in 39 years. North Carolina pursued McCollum as part of the Tar Heels coaching tree, but McCollum opted to remain at Iowa, and North Carolina ultimately hired former Denver Nuggets head coach Michael Malone. Which I think when we saw Cool, I think I saw a half frown, half smile. Never mind. An Iowa City native, McCollum has established himself as one of the best coaches in college basketball, having immediate postseason success at three different programs. He won four Division II national championships at Northwest Missouri State before taking over Drake in 2024. That's Drake the school, not the rapper. I'm sorry. In his one season with the Bulldogs, he won a Missouri Valley regular season title, and he upsetted the six-seeded Tigers of Missouri in the NCAA tournament en route to a 31-4 mark. Your thoughts on Mr. McCollum possibly building, a culture of his own in Iowa?
I mean, I could say Iowa's overreacting. It was his first year, and he did do something that hasn't been done, so I can say this is an overreaction, but as you said, that man has a track record of doing this.
Yeah.
So, let's see if he can build Iowa to a mainstay of NCAA tournament bid.
I agree. Hopefully that they can follow the women's lead. Iowa's losing star guard Bennett Sturts. Sorry about that, Mr. Sturts. From this past season, Sturts played for McCollum at Northwest Missouri State and Drake before following the coach to the Big Ten. But the Hawkeyes returned five of their top eight scorers and are adding impact transfers like Tyreek Coleman from Illinois State and Andrew McKeever from St. Mary's. Well, let's go from the college ranks to the pros, shall we? And let's stay with contract extensions. After exactly 3 weeks of deliberation, Steve Kerr agreed to a two-year contract and returning to Golden State as their head coach, reaching terms to continue their partnership into what will be his 13th season and beyond in the position. And this was told to ESPN from Dan Hevelhoff and Rick Smith of Priority Sports. The deal will keep Kerr the highest-paid coach in the NBA. And Lee Sosa said that he will be making, $17.5 million this past season. Kerr had multiple meetings with controlling owner Joe Lacob and general manager Mike Dunleavy in the past couple of weeks, discussing everything from offensive philosophy to the long-term outlook of the roster to the bigger picture direction of the franchise and eventually the contract terms it would require to bring Kerr back. One team source said, quote, "It was never going to be about money. We had to make the best basketball decision." Close quote. That ship has sailed. I'm sorry. Woosah. Since the beginning of this week, it has been generally known within the franchise that Kerr intended to return, but the loose ends were tied up Friday night and Saturday morning. And this is what sources told ESPN, keeping Kerr in charge of the fading days and potentially final chapter of the Stephen Curry era in Golden State. No, that's Father Time. I'm sorry. This was not a foregone conclusion because Kerr hinted at possibly departing in October, announcing in training camp that he wouldn't seek a contract extension and would let the final season of his deal play out before deciding on his future. You saw it went to crap and you wanted to have another shot at it. I'm sorry. Let me not interject commentary in this. Sorry. Professionalism, Cole. Professionalism. The injury ravaged 37-45 Warriors finished at the 10th seeded mark in the Western Conference and were eliminated by the Phoenix Suns in their play-in bracket, ending a stretch of disappointment that had Kerr and the franchise theorizing whether a split could or would be best. This is what Kerr had to say when the Warriors were eliminated in Phoenix that night. Quote, "I still love coaching, but I get it. These jobs all have an expiration date. Nah, son, we all have an expiration date." I'm sorry. "There is a run that happens, and when the run ends, sometimes it's time for new blood and new ideas." Close quote.
Why are you going at that man for saying a true statement?
He didn't go true enough.
He said the job.
And I said life.
He ain't talking about life. He's talking about the freaking job of the Golden State Warriors. Why you want to turn into something that is not?
Speaking of which, management for the Warriors did do some light information gathering on possible replacements for Kerr should he have left. But the major figures, Lacob, Dunleavy, and Curry, owner, executive, star player, never desired a divorce, having the necessary conversations and giving Kerr the needed time to bring him back into the fold. Now, this is what Stephen had to say after the elimination himself. Quote, "I want Coach to be happy. I want him to be excited about the job. I want him to believe he's the right guy for the job. I want him to have an opportunity to enjoy what he does. He knows how I feel about him. That shouldn't even need to be said. That shouldn't even need to be said." Close quote. Now, your thoughts on Kerr signing a 2-year deal and being on the team now for 12 years?
Steve Kerr, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, retiring as Warriors. That's the only thing I got to see this move happening. Steph Curry ain't going to play that much longer. I don't even think Stephen Curry going to make it to 2028, to be honest with you. So, guess what? Around 2028, that'll be the end of the era that we known as the Golden State Warriors. That's all that is.
Okay. All right. Now the next
you wanted some deep analysis from me on that one.
Hey, I was giving you the room to opine and forth something deep.
There are just some things that doesn't need deep analysis. This is one of them. This is simply let's have our people go out the correct way on their own terms.
Oh, so basically you're saying they want to avoid what the Bulls did back in 98 when the ownership said, "We don't give a crap, you win a championship, this is your last year."
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Even though they did go out and win a championship.
Right. But after that, they said, after you hoist that trophy in June of 98, it's over. We breaking this team up.
All because they weren't getting the credit.
General manager dummy. I'm sorry. The next important day for the Warriors is the NBA lottery Sunday night. They have the 11th best odds, giving them a 9.4% chance of moving into the top four of a loaded draft and a 77.6% chance of remaining in that slot. Then the Warriors, and then the Warriors will shift their attention to improving their roster via free agency and trades. Now you got Kerr coming back. You have Curry under contract for one more season. Mr. Curry, please slide 1%, 1% of what you're going to get for next year into my banking account. I got the number. I'll slide the bank account to you. Just give me 1% of what you're going to earn next year before taxes. Oh, and expected to have a contract extension conversations later this summer, league sources have said. The front office intends to be aggressive in rearranging the team to better compete for a playoff spot in a crowded conference.
Before you move on,
you need to get younger. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was saying before you move on. What's up, Dre?
Mr. Dre Day, or Sportsway with Dre Day podcast. He says, Playmaking Cole, what's up? With two strong arm emojis. What's up to you, sir? It's good that you are here. Oh, man.
And it's funny that you read something in that article, and it'd be honest with you, I didn't even read the articles to put them in consecutive order, so I didn't know. Mm-hmm. When you read that part, that was going to involve this.
Mm-hmm.
We just read the headline.
Yes. So, the Wizards, they won the draft lottery. And the Jazz, the Grizzlies, the Bulls, they round out the top four.
And here is your draft order.
All right, so who's going to pick number 14? That would be the Hornets. At number 13, we'll draw the Heat. The number 12 pick will be going to Oklahoma City, so the rich get richer. And Sam Presti's proven that he is the best executive in the NBA going today. The Warriors, they did stay at their 11th pick, and they had that 11th position. The Milwaukee Bucks, they have the 10th slot. You have the Hawks at the 8th spot. That's, of course, via the Pelicans. You have the Kings at the 7th spot. You have the Nets at the 6th spot. You had the Pacers at the 5th spot, but the Clippers benefit from it because the Pacers traded that pick to them. And, of course, you saw the Bulls at 4, the Grizzlies at 3, the Jazz at 2, and the Wizards at 1. Oh, there's some team at 9 that don't really matter. It did matter since Megan Thee Stallion decided to break up with Klay Thompson.
Your love and hatred for that team is just unrealistic right now. Good gracious.
Again, I love the city. The team is okay. The fan base needs to go take a flying kite.
So, this is your draft order. And by the way, news came out earlier. Mm-hmm. The Bucks are open to trading a certain player.
Yeah. The Nassus is getting worried because his older brother might be shopped. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm. That's a hard time. That's a hardcore carrot to dangle.
As you see, the market bus at number 10 will be picking 10. Mr. Johnson, how did you feel when the news came out that the Bucks are open to saying bye-bye to Mr. Giannis?
Part of me thinks they do want to start the next generation and the next era. But most of me thinks, let's see how much value he does have out in the open market. I know there's going to be certain teams that want him, but we want to see how much he's going to draw. And if the dollar amount is pretty steep, or if the draft picks are great, or if the talent that would come in return will be great, then it might be worth our while to actually kick the tires to it. But I'm just getting the feeling that it's sort of like we're dangling the carrot out there. Give us a great offer, and then we will entertain you. I don't think, though, he's going to leave.
Mr. Johnson says, Giannis is not going any. Where?
Should he? Yes. Will he? I don't think so.
So that will conclude our art book. All right. When we come back, we get into our recap form. Where will we begin? You have to stay around to find out.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids from the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck. Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Sometimes it's not even about the jerseys. It's the hat that sets it off. Snapbacks, fitties, truckers, whatever your style is, that's how you rep your team every day. If you're looking to upgrade your collection or find your next go-to cap, we got you covered. Hit the link in the description and shop the latest styles right now through Diggs. Every team, every style, every day. Top off your fit.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green and the Jets wore green. That's how I became a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan... say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
And welcome back to Turning Lights Out on this Monday, May 11th. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for watching. Now, full disclosure, for the past couple of days, this man to my right been wanting to cuss me out. He been wanting to cuss me out. Not in a way that I did something wrong. It's what I've been doing. And he's like, how is this even possible? But I do know in part of this recap, if one of our other brothers come into this chat, he will be cussing him out for a result that took place. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's run the fast break.
That this guy has shown. Let me shut up.
Kings off the steal. James with the stuff.
Rebound by Adams, his sixth. Morant, loaded by Primo. Attack.
All right, let's run the fast break. And let's start in the WNBA. And yes, those of you who don't know, I created a new graphic. And we're doing it a little differently. I have a spotlight game. I have some quick hitters, and I have the rest of the results that we are caught in the scoreboard suite. So the spotlight game. You can boo all you want. It took place and you want and you saw it. You're there itself.
And this is why I hate the FIFA.
So go ahead, sir. All yours.
This is why I hate the FIFA. So no, I'm just joking. I don't hate the FIFA. I really technically don't hate the Wings. Wings fan, I do, but I don't hate the Wings. My WNBA season did not start well this year because of this result. The Wings traveled to the Midwest went to Indy. They took care of business, and they held off a feverish charge from the Fever and won it 107-104.
Before you continue on, that friend of ours is in the chat.
Snowman Multimedia, a.k.a. Snowman himself. LOL. I only have one question, sir. Wow. It's supposed to be one of the best teams in the league. They get steamrolled by the Wings. Wow. I'm sorry.
I was on the show this morning, so he knew what was coming. As you can see, Arike Ogunbowale, 22 points, 5 assists to lead the way. Kelsey Mitchell continued to do what she left off last year, 30 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And as you can see, my little headline down there at the bottom, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, yes. Along with the two stars that you see, Paige Beckers and Odyssey Sims for the Wings, they added 20 points each. And along with Kelsey Mitchell's 30 for the Fever, you had the cash cow, the golden goose, a.k.a. Caitlin Clark, 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. It just wasn't good enough. 107-104 is the final score. The Wings look like they don't want to make the same number one overall draft pick for 2027, beating the team that everybody wants to see more than any other.
Andre agrees with my decision.
Yeah, and I agree with your decision. I agree your decision, too, even though I'm not the biggest fan of the Wings. Sportswear Dre Day, he says, definitely was the spotlight game. Of course, it's a spotlight game. I hate to say it, Wings. Basically because everybody is watching the Fever because all 44 of their games getting televised on TV.
Ooh, you ain't going to like this comment.
Dre says, when Caitlin Clark gives up almost 30 points on whomever is defending her, got to give the Wings their props. Okay. Wings, you did great. You beat the Cash Cow team. You beat the team that everybody wants to see, whether they want to see him win or lose. Yes. The city still sucks.
Dre, you talking to a man who can't anything that's Dallas sports, he can't stand.
It's because these dummies have rose color. I'll put it this way. Since Dre, you're from Brooklyn. Imagine the Wings being Boston fans. You get my drift. That's how it is for me.
All right. That is the spotlight game for your quick hits. Mr. Johnson, I bring you to slide number 2.
All right. So also starring this weekend, the Aces. They had a wonderful ring ceremony, and then they got properly destroyed by the Mercury, 99-66.
In a WWE Finals rematch.
Pimp smacked. Goodness gracious. The Mystics, who we basically say they've been on the come up. This is a good beginning, although this was the Tempo's introductory game into the WNBA. They went north of the border to the Mystics and beat them 68-65. And the Atlanta Dream, well, they weren't dreaming when they went to the Midwest, went to the Twin Cities, and put forth a 91-90 victory over on the Lynx with Alicia Gray with her 24 points, out-dueling the rookie Olivia Miles in her season opener debut, scoring 21 for the Lynx. Oh, and for the, I'm sorry, and for the Mystics, they spoiled the WNBA debut of the Tempo, and they had some Citron give you 56. But the Mercury pimp slapped the Aces. Goodness gracious. Wow.
And then for our scoreboard sweet recap, the Liberty started off their season beating the Sun.
Give me that number one pick. Give me that number one pick, son. Give them the number one pick. Come on.
Valkyries defeated the Storm. Sky scored the debut of the Portland Fire. And then yesterday, Liberty took down the Mystics to go 2-0. The Aces bounced back and defeated the LA Sparks. And the Valkyries took down the Mercury as the Fabry to start off 2-0 to start the season.
Wow. Aces, they coming for you. That crayon is looking a little heavy on the head.
And
Dre says, look, Olivia Miles will be rookie of the year. She keeps going like that, bro. She will be easy in a landslide, man. In a landslide.
And he was laughing at you and when it comes to Dallas teams.
Oh, hey. I'm just speaking facts. F-A with a whole bunch of X's.
All right, sir. First weekend of the W. I'm pretty sure you're going to be focused on what the Mercury did in a WNBA Finals rematch with the Aces.
Yeah, and this is what you would want to see in a team that if you meet them in a high profile game and you come up on the short end, the motivation for that team is, okay, we want to knock the block off of the team that ended our season in the worst way possible. Because to me, the worst way you can end a season is, in my opinion, is go all the way to where they were and then get beat down, because it feels like nothing, just like it is if it was like with the Wings this past season when they had the worst record in the league. They end up being the number one overall, end up picking number one overall in the next year's draft. It is heartbreaking to have that happen, and that you want to go out of your way to pimp slap the team that beat you down. They had the opportunity. And of course, that won't be the only one opportunity they'll have this year. But wow, they went to Vegas and they beat the Queens down.
All right. Somebody agrees with you.
Oh, the best show, W show. He says, and they sure did. Well, I mean, this is the truth. I mean, the Mercury just dominated the Aces. And and that motivation is there.
Well, for me, it was a spotlight game for a reason, because the Dallas Wings coming off having back-to-back number one picks. The team that they're playing against was coming off having back-to-back number one picks before them. So you had last four first-round picks and all in one game.
And you might be seeing down the line, you might be seeing these two teams, I won't say dominate, but you might see these two teams fight for supremacy in the next few years.
Even though everybody had all eyes on Caitlin Clark and that she finally returned to the court, people had to remember Dallas got a new coaching staff on top of that number one pick.
Yeah, they did.
So the fact that they was able to go into Indianapolis and take down the Fever, that's pretty good, because I'm pretty sure Mr. Fernandez, he hasn't figured out how he's going to do his rotation, who he's actually going to put in the starting lineup, because AZ Flood didn't start. She came off the bench.
And
that rode people the wrong way, but I'm like, he just got there. He don't even know who he has. Who do you know who can play where?
Mr. Fernandez has an embarrassment of riches with talent. An embarrassment of riches with young talent. It pains me to say that about a Dallas anything. But, I mean, the truth is, he has a wealth of talent to work with, and they're young, and they want to impress, and I think they want to show that they're the new kids on the block. So when you have that motivation and you have people probably like myself who wants to talk down and ill toward the Wings, they want to prove those like me wrong. Please prove me wrong.
So
means that they're doing their job, and they're increasing and improving what they're supposed to do.
So I need people to give Mr. Fernandez some time here. He's new. He's come from the college ranks to the pro ranks. He has all this talent. He has Paige Beckers, AZ Flood, Arike Ogunbowale, Odyssey Sim, who was on the Indiana Fever last year. You see what she did to her former team. Let him figure out who he wants to start. Let him figure out his rotation. Not to get on you about Dallas, but this is what I've been seeing after the game and what people have been talking. Like, give the man time. It's the first game of the season.
No. His job is to put the best talent out there at certain times of the 40 minutes. that he has in which to coach. So when you have the talent that he has, and he's only had the short amount of window that he has had. Oh, and the window is made shorter by the fact they didn't come to a CBA until, what, this late winter? So he had very little time to really work with the team and get some semblance of chemistry down. And for him to notch a W, one, I may add, against the team that has the biggest bullseye on them, that credit to him. And it's, and it was on the road to, as well. Credit to him. Credit to now him, for credit the, to him for and credit the, to the Wings.
For the Indiana Fever, what I said last week still stands. They might have lost this first game, but it's the first game. You Fever fans, shut up. You're not stepping right across the team.
You got 40-plus more games. I mean, not every great team wins their first game of the year. Some lose their first game. It's just
The defending champs got their ass whooped on their home court.
Yeah. And I don't think we're gonna see them be 10-34 at the end of the season. They're too talented for that. So the Fever they're gonna have their say, the Aces too will have their say as well. But yeah, this isn't for Fever fan that thinks, oh my God, the sky is falling because the team that drafted number one beat us in our home building. One, that team is talented on the other side. Two, your team is talented too, and is still learning how to play with one another.
You got to remember, Caden Clark only played 13 games last year.
Yeah, so that also takes time. And by the way, the team actually played pretty well without Miss Clark. So it takes time to gel. And both teams are gelling. So patience, I think, is the key word of that matchup and the two teams going forward for the Wings and for the Fever. Wings fan, Fever's fan, Fever fan, patience.
Hey, don't be cussing on the show.
Dre, he says, Mercury took it personal. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. So, I'm not shocked. A team that went all the way to the championship round and got absolutely humbled by the champs, you look at them different. I'll put it this way. Obviously, the league has a bullseye on the Aces. Obviously, the league is using them as a litmus test as to if they measure up and how they measure up against the champs. When you're the team that got ousted by the champs, you put a little extra oomph to
and then you the made it, test. And then you made it the first game of the season where I have to watch them get their rings.
And we have to watch them get the rings that we fought for. Mm-mm. Now, the Mercury is going to take every matchup with the Aces this year just a little bit more personal than any other team in the WNBA. Dre also says, yeah, and then the Mercury lost to Golden State last night.
Hey, man. Dre, me and Kobe tell you, we ain't playing around with Golden State.
The Valkyries? I mean, I would not be surprised if the Valkyries end up having a home court in the first round.
Y'all better pay attention to that Valkyrie team out there in Golden State.
I would not be surprised if the Valkyries have home court the first round. I would not be surprised.
That team is sending a message. That last year wasn't no fluke.
No, wasn't a fluke at all. That team is talented. The coaching staff is beautiful, and the executives, chef's kiss, and they must be taking notes from what the Warriors are doing because they're operating in a very similar fashion. Dre also says, look, I had to watch the game on mute because of the glazing of Caitlin Clark by Rebecca Lobo and Ryan Ruoco. Dre, I think you know this as well as Playmaker and I do.
I'll let you have this one.
I think you know this as well as as Playmaker and I do. This is par for the course. You're going to there's a reason why I call her the Golden Goose and the Cash Cow. I'm not saying it to be mean-spirited. I'm not saying it to just trash on her. The truth of the matter is this is the woman that everybody in the WNBA wants to beat down or wants to be because she is the focus. And whenever that happens, and I know this is unfortunate because I am professionally in media, they will say, look, hype up what brings the eyeballs. Hype, in this case, her all the way up. Turn it to 100 and hype her up. And then unfortunately, what that makes for the enthusiasts like yourself, like Playmaker, like me, is like you said, it makes you turn the game on mute because the gets a little too, or I should say in this case, gets a little too thick. The ice cream cone licking has to stop, but unfortunately, it's starting. And believe me, we're going to be seeing many licks of ice cream cones when it comes to Caitlin Clark. They're going to lick that happy button as many chances as both any woman and any man that covers the Indiana Fever can get.
Oh, I have nothing to say.
This is the truth. Dre went on to say, look, they are guard heavy and talking about the wings. And Jose Fernandez is going to have his hands full trying to give them the proper time on the court. And I think that's where the wings probably will falter. The fact that if a team can come physical at them and force them to have a bad shooting night and penetration to be hard and hard and hard to actually execute, that's when the wings will falter. But I agree. I think he's going to have his hands full with not having not having solid bigs to go along with the guards in the backcourt that they do have. Because they're going to have to do this and hope they have great shooting nights most of the time. Dre says, look, the Valkyries are legit, and now my girl Gabby Williams is there. Shucky ducky, quack, quack.
Them getting Gabby was like, what, darn. You're talking about Richard with Oklahoma City. I'm like, well, darn, going to state, you already sent the message. Man, you snap Gabby Williams. Like, good gracious.
Yeah. 2026 was not a fluke. Wasn't a fluke. No, 2025 wasn't a fluke, Negros. We coming out the next. Dre says, look, the hype has been disappointing thus far with 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 rolling on the floor laughing and crying emojis. Yeah.
It's year three, okay?
And like you said, she's coming off an injury. So I wasn't expecting her to do like a triple-double. Like I think probably most of the WNBA fandom would probably want her to do. But, I mean, 25-7 is not bad for coming back and working into how the Fever are going to operate. But I agree with you, Dre. The abundance of hype on Caitlin Clark when basically every other sentence will be her name that will be mentioned in whatever they cover, that's going to get a little bit it's going to be a little bit much.
All right. Now we started the WNBA, but we got to transition over to the National Basketball Association because the conference semis are still going on. Lakers, Thunder, Wolves, Spurs, Cavs, Pistons, 76ers, and Knicks.
And as we then continue. There were eight.
Going to Saturday, Cleveland got on the board, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, Cleveland got on the board. They were down two games to none. Basically just swung and whiffed in their two games in Detroit. They went into Northeastern Ohio, and it took a monumental effort from James Harden at the closing minutes of that game to pull out a 116-109 victory over the Pistons. Now, you have Kay Cunningham for the losing Pistons in that game, giving you a triple-double, 27 points, 10 boards, and 10 assists. Over on the other end, for the victorious Cavaliers, you had Spider, or Donovan Mitchell's 35 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Now, what you will see, I think what we are witnessing is the same type of talk that a lot of people have said that this is why people can't really ride all the way with the Pistons. Although the Cavaliers had a terrible third quarter, the Pistons had a terrible second quarter. People have said you can beat this Pistons team because you can have them at one stretch, have them miss everything, and just have them have poor offensive execution. And for them, it was the second quarter, and I would say some stretches in the fourth. And although the Pistons are still up 2-1 in this series, this really does not bode well with them going forward because they're going to go against certain teams, one in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to say the team yet. And if they were to advance past that, the NBA Finals, whether it is the Spurs, whether it is the Timberwolves, definitely whether it's the Thunder, these cold spells that the Pistons normally have in games, and you got a chance to witness it in the 7-game series that they played against the Magic. A team that's big, a team that's physical, and that can just simply force the Pistons to be jump shooters, that's dangerous. That's dangerous for this team.
Yep. James Harden showed up in the fourth quarter. Who would have thought? James Harden gave you 9 points in the fourth quarter to ensure that they didn't go down 3-0, which would have been interesting, by the way, if that went down 3-0. But shout out to them. Spider doing what he does. Spider's trying to make it to the conference final for the first time in his career. He's trying to get to a conference finals. James Harden, would you like to help him get there? You've been to a conference finals. You've been to an NBA finals. You stepping up in the fourth quarter in game three? Good job. You only had one turnover. You had one turnover in game three, Mr. Harden. Good by you. But we don't need you to wait till the fourth quarter to finally show up. Okay? That's what we don't need. We need James Harden to show up from opening tap. If you want to prove us wrong, Mr. Harden, you need to show up from opening tap. Now, you showed up in the fourth quarter in game three. What you going to do in game four? That's the question moving forward. That's game four. From Cleveland, Ohio, we head out west to the city of Angels, Los Angeles, California, where the Lakers and the Thunder met in game three on Saturday night. And OKC is literally toying with the Los Angeles Lakers. Just keep it a buck. They are toying with the Lakers, man. This is child's play. 131-108 in game three. When OKC wants to turn it on, they just turn it on. Look at it. They outscored the Lakers 74-49 in the second half. 74-49. They just toying with these boys. They just toying with them. They just toying with the Lakers. Like AJ Mitchell bust the Lakers in game three.
Yeah, this is beautiful. All you busters who think that because LeBron James is playing at 41 years of age, and he's doing things that people ain't supposed to do at age 41, that he's going to have this long run. No, not against the Thunder. Not against the Thunder.
No, Lord.
This team is too deep. This team is too hungry. This team is too talented. And unfortunately, Lakers, you're too old. And it's time to retire you. And this is what the Thunder's doing. Look at that retirement plan. Look at that. All them boxes checked. Get your old behinds in the retirement home and stay there.
Not the retirement.
Thank you, Thunder.
Not a retirement plan. Why do you have to do it? Why?
It's time to retire.
Why a retirement plan? Why?
Because that team is old. And I know you're saying, well, Austin Reeves isn't old. Bronny James Devlin isn't old. Rui Hachimura is not old. James Vanderbilt is not old. You know, Luke Kennard is not old. No, they're led by LeBron James, and that's where they're old. And that's trickling down the rest of the team. And heck, the guy is supposed to be circling around. He can't play. He's injured for the rest of the year. Yo, retire. Get. Thank you for this service, Thunder. We totally appreciate you.
I know it's coming next week. Oh, great. But before I deal with next week,
I'm not doing anything.
He wants to pick on LeBron James because of defense. It's the same thing with Dallas. He wants to pick on them because of defense.
Oh, wow.
We going to put on a real analyst hat and DeAndre Ayton, what the hell's wrong with you?
Well, wait. You all expected DeAndre Ayton to do something in this series? The Thunder got too many bigs for him to even make an impact.
They made him for 3 offensive rebounds in 1 possession. All you have to do is catch the damn ball.
What was the reason that the Suns said, okay, you got to get out of here?
Like,
no heart. Was he showing in this series? No heart. You all are surprised?
And it got to the point where you can read J.J. Redick's lips. He said, I can't play this guy.
Why not?
You gave up 3 offensive rebounds on 1 possession. Hey, you know how bad it is when it comes to this matchup with OKC? DeAndre Ayton gives you 5 points a game. 5 rebounds a game. That is pathetic, and you're 7-1. What was my key matchup when we previewed this game? The previewed this series code, what was my key matchup?
Oh, yeah. Jed Homer versus DeAndre Ayton. And I could have told you right then and there. Homer winning that matchup, hands down.
And what's the series record?
Let me see. It is 3 for the Thunder, 0 for the Lakers.
And guess what? SGA hasn't even had a signature game this series.
People actually complain he's had 3 letdown games this series, but what have I been saying with the Thunder? They're too deep for every other team in the NBA. They are too deep.
They say 3 letdown games, but I see a 3 under OKC and I see a 0 under the Lakers.
I'll take if I was SGA, I would take all them 3 letdown games for the results that came out of it.
And what's that bottom line under the 0?
The bottom line under the 0, AJ Mitchell.
No, over here on the right corner, top right corner. What's that line under the 0?
Oh, that the Thunder leads the series 3-0.
3-0.
I was going to say, because of that effort by someone not named SGA, and he did have a significant impact in it, the Lakers are now on the brink of elimination.
Everybody's kicking your ass. Everybody. More on this series a little later. Yes. You know what? Cole, you can have fun. I'm done.
So, we started Mother's Day or yesterday with an exhilarating matchup between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, they were the Knicks up 3-0 heading into Madison Square South, Xfinity Center Arena for game 4. And it looked as though it was possible that we was going to see a matchup that was worth our while. The Knicks put up 43 points in the first quarter and 38 in the second to basically say, no suit for you to the Sixers. 144-114 was the final score. The game was not even that close. You could say Jalen Brunson, he had a decent game, 22 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. But basically, the talk of the game was one Mr. Miles McBride, who simply did not see a three-pointer that he could not miss. Started off, if I'm not mistaken, I think the first 5 in a row, if not 6 in a row. Just every
6 in a row.
Every time he got the ball behind the arc, he free-stroked it. And after the second one, you really thought that we were not in Philly but in New York, because when McBride got the ball, you heard the crowd cheer for him to hit the 3. I'm like, Lord have mercy. They punked out 76ers fan. Oh, my gosh. This was horrible. The Knicks, they shot lights out from 3. 25 of 44. And this blowout was in full effect starting in the second quarter. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is the second sweep the 76ers have suffered under the Knicks. I forget the year, but it was during the Charles Barkley 76ers era where they actually played 5 games in the first round and the Knicks swept them 3-0. And swept them off the second floor. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's probably 92, possibly. But the Knicks, congratulations. You go on, and you're the first team to punch your ticket to the conference finals of the 4 that will. You'll be waiting the winner of the Cavaliers and the Pistons. Meanwhile, for the 76ers, Joel Embiid, if I hear you, son, talk this bull about, you know, this was actually a really successful season, shut up. You were 3 rounds short of where you're supposed to be. And remind me, Mr. Playmaker, you mentioned this with Spider. But the process, how many times has he advanced to the conference finals?
0
times. So why were you holding your son in your lap and in the post-game press conference have the nerve to opine that this was a successful season? All because in the first round you came back from a 3-1 series deficit to beat the Celtics. So you got that monkey off your back, but you didn't get the other monkey of we haven't advanced further than this round, because you still have that monkey on yours still. And you got pimp slapped by a team that's only 90 minutes northeast of you. But you deserve this pimp slap. You deserve to get beat down like you did, because you all showed no heart except for Tyrese Maxey and EJ Edgecombe. No heart. I don't have anything for you, Sixers fan and 76ers, except for what sucks worse is you said that this same team that you have this year is going to be on the court next year. And guess what you're going to receive? The same result. So that means you're not going to advance any further than you are, because you don't think you got to change anything. Just a tweak. But no, you're going to get pimp slapped again. I would say I feel for you, but I don't.
And you tried to get on me because I felt some type of way when I found out Philly and New York was playing on Mother's Day.
And then there is that. So one of the standing rules that Playmaker has is we should not play on holidays, but I'll say this, Playmaker, Mother's Day is not a holiday. Mother's Day is a commemoration day. But basically, days to remember and holidays. So you'll be hearing the same message when we, in 2 weeks from today, have a Memorial Day game. And so his rule of thumb, especially on Mother's Day, is that they shouldn't play any games on Mother's Day, which the second game of Mother's Day last night was actually a great one. He says he doesn't want to see Mother's Day games because we are bound to see a blowout, and we saw one yesterday. You know, so when I was sitting at the brunch celebrating my mother for Mother's Day, while I was seeing my uncle, my aunt, her daughter with her son-in-law, and four of her sisters. When I was seeing them celebrate with my mother, my father, and myself, and we were eating brunch, and it was as if we were 30-something black women drinking bottomless mimosas. Because you would have thought that restaurant was a club. I mean, you couldn't hear anything over the music. And then you had this Negro with a pick on his head, roaming around the restaurant, strumming on his guitar as if he was Jimi Hendrix or somebody. I'm like, come on, son, lay off it. Lay off the axe and lay off the weed, son. So what did my eyes see? I saw the Knicks beating the Sixers down. Sixers, you should be an embarrassment. You should not even field the team for next year. Let me see if I can put this in the proper context. The process has failed. Now it's time for you to uproot that and build something new.
He might not feel bad, Philip, but in this game I do, because when you just see a team that's hit three after three after three after three after, and this is all in the first quarter, after three. What the hell? What can we do? They just hitting threes.
But they pulled that, maybe not the threes, but they pulled the same domination in game one. So I'm like, the only full game that the Sixers really competed in was game two.
When a team hit 11 threes in a quarter and 18 and a half, that takes the fight out of you. Because can they miss? Hands in their face, hands not in their face. Flying in the air, trying to distract. All of it's going in. That's all you just, man, you know what? Y'all got it. It's as hard as Messi is trying, Embiid is trying, the whole team trying, is like, they can't miss. What did you say what they shot from three in that game?
25 of 44.
Threes made on 44 attempts, correct?
Mm-hmm.
56.8% to be exact. Mr. Johnson, then I want you to be the honest man that you are. Okay. When you see a team hit that many threes in a quarter and that many threes in a half, what would your demeanor be like?
You might have to live to fight for another day. Well, what sucks about this particular scenario is
there's no other day.
You ain't living for another day with this performance. You shot your load. And yes, you could take all of what's intended. You shot your load. This was your last stand, and the last stand you getting pimp slapped because this team just cannot miss from three no matter what you do defensively.
Unlike last year when Cleveland took the behinds of the Indianapolis.
That's what
Philly tried.
8 of the 39 and a half. That's sad.
Philly tried. Like Mr. Jones, you see the box scores for Philly. They tried.
I mean, they played a good game. I'll admit, they played a good game. The Knicks are like, you're not on our level. You're not on our level.
We're going
to destroy you in the paint, and we're going to destroy you from deep. You got no answer for us. And they were right. The Sixers did not have an answer for the Knicks.
That's my thing. It's like, Philly tried. It is one of those, you just got to shake their hand, man. It's like, God damn it. Shake their hand. It is what it is at this point. I can't say it for lack of effort. Philly tried. Unlike Cleveland last year. And trust me, that game will stick with Cole Johnson for the rest of his life. Because that game was on Mother's Day, too.
It's just what pissed me off about that game. The Cavaliers, they said, okay, we're on our road back. We put our God on Dan. We showed out in game four. We're going to come out with another standard in game five. 80 to 39.
Was that game five? That game was in Indianapolis, and Cleveland had home court advantage.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. So it was game six, I think. Because I know, yeah, it was game six. 80 to 39. Now, you want to talk about, and that wasn't the three after three after three type of game there. That was just an offensive deluge with the Cavaliers can't buy a bucket on their end. And you, the number one seed at the time in the conference, one of the two number one seeds in the playoffs. And you put forth an 80 to 39 performance and a half. 80 to 39. That's sad.
So you Philly tried. They just.
Yeah, I still don't feel bad for the Sixers.
Goddamn.
Because they put forth putrid effort in game one. Putrid.
They did the same thing at Boston, but we see how that turned out. And yes, I'm taking a shot at Boston because they shouldn't even lost that damn series.
They shouldn't have.
The Knicks say y'all not getting no daylight whatsoever. So, yes, the Knicks are the first team to advance to the conference finals, which leads us to one game left, Mr. Johnson, from yesterday.
And that will now be the series of the conference semifinals. That would be the Spurs, who are up 2-1 going in last night's game, and the homebound Timberwolves. It was a nip-and-tuck game. The Spurs wanted to handle things. But the Timberwolves in the fourth quarter seized control. And I got to give them credit. They really took Victor Wembanyama out the game. 114-109 was the final score for the losing Spurs. Dylan Harper with 24 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 steals. But Ant, when he's motivated...
On bad knees, by the way.
It is almost impossible.
And yes, I said knees with an S. Both knees are not 100%.
It is impossible to stop him when he gets going. 6 rebounds to go along with 36 points. And this team should not even be where they are. The Spurs should be more talented. More dominant down low. And they should. They should. I didn't say they are.
That dumbness down low gets diminished when somebody gets ejected at 8:39 left in the second quarter.
That's where I was about to go. I said should. But even when that same force is on the court, they're not as dominant because this Timberwolves team is extremely scrappy. And they could be physical along with. In fact, that's the elixir. They're being more physical to the Spurs. Cut to Wimby being booted out of the game with less than 9 minutes to go in the first half. Now you could say, well, that's easy because it's easy for the Timberwolves to beat the Spurs. You could do that without Victor Wembanyama. They beat him with Wembanyama on the floor. And I'm not talking about this game.
Game one.
Yeah. So this team can beat them with or without Wembanyama on the floor. It seems like the Timberwolves have what it takes to neutralize what the Spurs do. And that's something that people were not thinking the Thunder can do. Now we got to say it looks like there's a team who can, and that team looks like it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. Two games each. Now this series is a best of three.
But the headline news?
Yeah. Mr. Wembanyama, he will not be suspended. We will see him in San Antonio and not on the bench. He will be on the court for game five. So it looks like the elbow he threw to Mr. Nassir Reed is not going to cost him a game.
Spurs star Victor Wembanyama would not face any further disciplinaries following elbow to Minnesota's Naz Reed. And we'll play a game five against the Timberwolves. He's not even getting fined.
I guess they figured the ejection was enough.
Do you agree or disagree with Adam Silver in the NBA?
I agree. I mean, yeah, because Wembanyama doesn't really have a track record of just throwing bows. And he's not a dirty player. He doesn't strike me as that. And you gotta sometimes let those things go. I mean, you make mistakes, and you sometimes err on the side of aggression. Unfortunately, that happens. That happens. What I can say is, Timberwolves fan, you shouldn't be upset. In fact, one of my homeboys is a Timberwolves fan, and he actually lives in the Twin Cities. He actually said, he doesn't think it was that elbow was not worthy of suspension, and he would say it if it was. So no, it's not worthy of suspension. The having him not play the rest of the game, I think, was stiff enough.
Well, I went to the people. He had mixed reactions. Some felt like he should have been suspended for game five. You want to be consistent in NBA? You want to care about players' health and safety? Wembanyama gets suspended for game five. Others feel like Mr. Johnson. Hey, he practically missed most of game four already. But they did say he should have been at least fined.
Yeah. I was surprised they didn't fine him. That I am surprised.
And there's some out there that says, no, we want to see the best players on the court during this time, so the other team can earn their way to the next round. Don't deprive the Spurs the opportunity without Wembanyama. So I got misreaction from the people. You fall in the category of, hey, he got ejected. First offense. All things good. Let's go. Let's gear up for game five.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, it shouldn't be, in my estimation, he doesn't need to be suspended a game, and the fine, maybe he probably could have gotten a fine, but oh well. I guess they figured him being out the rest of the game was stiff enough.
So, those of you who are watching, get Tell us your thoughts on the chat. Did the NBA get it right by not doing anything further to Victor Wembanyama and allowing him to play in game five? Or you thought that Wembanyama should have been suspended and fined, or suspended or fined, whatever the case may be? Let us know. And with that being said, that will conclude the fast break.
That this guy has shown. Let me shut up.
Hands off the steal.
No matter what you are watching, one thing stays the same. You gotta represent your team the right way. Whether it's jerseys, hats, or hoodies, what you wear is part of the experience. If you're looking to upgrade your gear or getting ready for the next game, we got you covered. Hit the link in the description and shop official licensed gear through Fanatics. Every team, every league, every fan. Don't just watch the game.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there seeing LA Knight. Oh, okay. Man. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel.
Yep, Monarchs tonight. Backlash reaction.
Well, at least the car wasn't like the Sixers.
There's definitely going to be some reaction. I can guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I made it through one set without my co-host cussing me out for what I've been doing. Let's see if I can finish the show without him cussing me out for what I'm doing, because games to watch. I revamped it to the Shooting Lights Out games to watch. We're going to start in the WNBA. You have the Atlanta Dream tomorrow. These games are tomorrow, Tuesday, May 12th. The Atlanta Dream, they are in Dallas to take on the Dallas Wings. The Atlanta Dream are 2.5-point favorites. Odds provided are from Hard Rock Bet, and these odds are for informational purpose only. At 10 p.m., the New York Liberty, 13.5-point favorites. They are in Portland to take on the Lully, their revived franchise, the Portland Fire. And And also at 10, the Minnesota Lynx, they are in Phoenix. That's Phoenix have their home opener when they play the Lynx. Phoenix, 3.5-point favorites. My star game for tomorrow night, the Atlanta Dream at the Dallas Wings. We saw Dallas go into Indianapolis and take down Clayton Clark and Indiana Fever. The new look Dream, Alicia Gray, Ryan Howard, Angel Reese and company. They are off to a good start as well. It should be an interesting matchup. Fernandez is still trying to figure out his roster and his work and stuff like that. And then, you can leave and go to sleep. You need to go to sleep, sir.
No, I'm listening to what you're saying.
No, you're not, because it's about the drink. It's about the wings, and you can't be objective.
I'm being objective.
No, you're not. I don't know why you're doing that. Ain't none of these games are being nationally televised. If you notice, there's a spot missing here.
Yes, I know. Watch part. Yes, I know. I know.
This is the run with the WNBA. You already off to a wrong start already. You have none of these three games televised? None of them?
We're not in August yet. That's the only one we attack them for this. Not May.
ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, NBA TV, USA Network, ION Television, Amazon Prime, CBS, Paramount Plus.
I'm not saying you're wrong, sir. I'm not saying you're wrong at all, sir. I'm just saying it shouldn't come as a shock to you.
It's not, but I still get to call it out when I see it.
Well, I'm saying we normally call it out in August. Because and then we normally say you pull this bull all the way throughout the season.
And we're gonna say in that time it comes too. None of these games tomorrow are televised. Like, what are y'all doing? Y'all got this brand new media rights there, and y'all can't put at least one of these games on TV, on streaming.
Well, you gotta understand, this is what the NBA playoffs. They can't compete with that just yet. And all those platforms except for ION TV, they have a hand in the NBA stuff.
CBS don't. Paramount Plus don't.
Okay, all right. Except for ION and the Paramount family, because CBS belongs to Paramount. The NBA has a hand in all that other stuff too.
So you can't say you're trying to help go to a game. You ain't going to put the games on TV. I'm just going to throw that out there.
But you're doing a wonderful job not putting the wings on TV, though.
You know damn well you want to see injuries.
I personally want to see her because I want to see this woman improve. I want to see if she is learning how to be more controlled in the paint. Because she plays so hard and it almost looks sporadic. I want to see if she actually can play control and actually be the dominant force that she's supposed to be down the block. Now be armed with a good team that's with her.
That's tomorrow. Wednesday. The Storm at the Temple, 7 p.m. The Aces at the Sun, 8 p.m. on USA Network. Why? I have no idea. The Sky at the Valkyrie at 10 p.m. and at 10:30 on the USA Network. The Fever at the Sparks, which is my spotlight game for Wednesday.
Why Aces Suns? Asia Wilson.
I was more taking a shot on to the Sun side, but yeah.
I know you are. And I don't blame you.
You'd have been better off putting Sky and Valkyrie in that spot.
I wouldn't have complained.
If we're being completely honest.
I wouldn't complain. I think we do need to see how good the Valkyries really are. I agree with you on that.
But my star game for Wednesday, favorite Sparks, both teams come out of losses. Indiana's favorite. Let's see which team can bounce back from their loss and get themselves on the board. What say you, Mr. Johnson?
For that game in particular?
No, what game are you looking at?
What game I'm looking for? Definitely Fever Sparks. The other one that would compete would probably be the Dream Wings. But Fever Sparks, that's going to be the matchup, I think, for this, at least for up to Wednesday, just simply because we got to see if the Fever is going to start to really gel around Kayla Clark. And if it begins to gel, how do they take to her? How does the team take to her? And as for the Sparks, what type of identity do they really want to have? So it's a really good matchup from those two aspects.
That's your WNBA. To the National Basketball Association as the conference semifinals continue on. Tonight, Pistons at Cavs, game four, Detroit leading the series 2-1, 8 p.m. NBC and Peacock. Cavaliers, 3.5-point favorites, according to Vegas. And then at 10:30 on Prime Video. Sorry, Cole Johnson, you must go to stream if you want to see the end of LeBron James. As the Oklahoma City Thunder will take on the Los Angeles Lakers in game four with OKC up 3-0, with OKC, according to Vegas, 10.5-point favorites. So, Mr. Johnson, the other two series going to their game fours.
Well, I believe we're going to see that Pistons Cavaliers series be knotted up at two teams apiece just for one reason and one reason only. The Pistons will at some point in time not buy a bucket. There's going to come a time where that Pistons offense is going to be sluggish and they can't do anything. They can't even buy layups. You're going to have a stretch where that happens, and the Cavaliers are strong enough at home to take advantage of it. Now, that does not mean it's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a really good game. But I think the Pistons are going to have one of those stretches where it's going to cost them the game. That's the early matchup. The latter part of that matchup, yes, the Lakers can play more desperate and they can show that they got fight in them. But the 41-year-old will not have enough in the juice and in the tank. And you mentioned the matchup that is going to has messed the Lakers up and will continue to mess the Lakers up. Chet Holmgren is far superior to DeAndre Ayton, and the Windex will be taken care of by the Thunder, not by the Lakers, and we're going to see the Thunder put the Lakers in the retirement home. LeBron, and I say this with all of the love I have in my heart, retire now! For the Lakers, enjoy your retirement.
You are terrible. You are absolutely terrible.
What did I do now? Why am I terrible? What did I do now?
I'm going to disagree with you.
What?
I think James Harden going to go back to doing his Houdini yet, and the Pistons go up 3-1 tonight.
No, let's get this straight. They ain't winning. The Cavs ain't winning this game because of Harden. Harden will exactly do what you just said. He'll get his disappearing act on. But I think you're going to have a dose of Spider and Jared, a dose of Spider on offense and Jared Allen on defense.
I think the Pistons are going to take this one, put the Cavs on the brink of elimination after this. And OKC, let's go ahead and do all those a favor and just get rid of LeBron James.
Yeah, just take seriously, Thunder, take the Lakers out of their misery and just get rid of them. Yes, a whole lot of this country can't stand the Lakers, but let's be for real. They can't beat your G League team. Just get them out the paint.
Please and thank you. Shay, go ahead and go for 40. Just for the hell of it. Just go ahead and go for 40.
Just show the people the talent you really do have. We know you are. Let's show what you got.
You already heard people say you had three letdown games and you won all three games.
Which I'm like, I want to have them as letdown games. I'll take them. I'll take all of them. Because it wasn't that he played bad. He just played within the framework of the team.
And then tomorrow, we head down to Texas. Cole Johnson State.
Yeah, 100. This game's taking place 180 miles west of here, west of where I am. Timberwolves, Spurs. Now, the Timberwolves did come down to San Antonio and win last week. So it is not impossible for them to win another game at the Riverfront. I mean, Riverwalk. But yes, I see the over-under is 216.5 points. And the Spurs are favored by 9.5. Since Wimby is not going to be in Lemon, is actually going to play and he's not going to be suspended, I think he wants to prove that how he was in game four leading to his ejection, he's going to play with a little bit of anger. And that's good at this time of year. Because that he's going to have to match the intensity of Anthony Edwards. And I think he's up to the challenge.
I'm agreeing with him. I like the Spurs. I think the Spurs are going to come out here and might be dominant.
And as I said,
and remember, it took Anthony Edwards to beat the Spurs without Victor Wembanyama in game four.
And
the Spurs was leading going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You all have to understand, the Spurs are not a one-trick pony. They are loaded to the teeth with talent. So if you think that the Spurs and their advancement is hinged upon, is contingent upon Wembanyama having Nikola Jokic type of games, no, it's not. He can have those, yes, but it's not. Because that doggone backcourt is ridiculous.
You have no idea. So I like the Spurs in this one. Not saying that they'll go to Minnesota and wipe out Minnesota in game six, but game five back in San Antonio after Victor Wembanyama has been ejected from a game, and the Spurs know they still could have won that game without him. Oh, yeah, they feeling some type of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're feeling salty.
They feeling some type of way, and I expect them to display it tomorrow on NBC and Peacock. Those are your shooting lights out games to watch. And better late than ever, should I say.
Oh, Victor Locke or VLock A3 or the man who is the Ed McMahon of the Snowman in the Morning program, or as we call him, Vicola. He says, what's up, Kangs? He goes on to say, real message from a coworker from my office. Quote, who's ready for the comeback of comebacks? Yo Kang is ready to rule. Close quote.
He can go rule that retirement home, Coach Johnson's putting him in.
Yeah. Comebacks. Show him this, Victor. Because that's where the Lakers are going next. Courtesy of the Thunder. Them whack busters getting retired tonight.
And my co-host has made an appearance.
Oh, that would be one Mr. Cool McCain or Cool McCain 15. He says, piss on Adelman.
He went a step further.
Oh, no, not just piss on him. Hot piss.
He's still stinging from Minnesota taking out Denver.
Oh, of course he is. I'm not surprised he's salty from that. Victor says, look, I love Shooting Lights Out, but I also miss Cold Sports with a Z. Thank you, sir.
Hey, it's unfortunate, but he's having a whole lot of fun over here because he gets to do a lot of different things that I have no idea what he's doing. You see that background he got. I didn't see that coming.
I'd love the Thunder staff just checking in on the Lakers as they just atrophy right before your very eyes. I love it. I love it.
This is why Cold Sports is on the shelf right now, because he's back here having a whole bunch of fun at my expense.
Oh, Lord. Lord. I love seeing this. Lakers in a retirement home. That's beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Y'all better enjoy it now, because once these playoffs are done and we crown an NBA champion, the grapples will be slowed down until football season.
Pretty much. Because it's harder to do this with the women than it is the guys.
Well, with that being said, that's Cole Johnson. I am the Playmaker. We are signing off for this week. Enjoy your WNBA. Enjoy your conference semis. And then hopefully by the time we come back here next Monday, we'll be in the conference finals, down to the final four. And we'll go from there. So thank y'all for watching on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button, have a notification bell. Continue to help us grow the channel, to grow the brand. If you're watching on my personal LinkedIn page, thank you. Go ahead and send me a connect on LinkedIn, and also slide over to the Playmakers Network YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button, have a notification bell. We also want to shout out Fanatics, Liz, and Paramount Plus as our affiliated partners. So you already got to know, rep your team. If you got to rep your team, you're trying to find a way to rep your team, hit up Fanatics. All right. If you want nice caps and hats to rock and roll, hit up Liz. So with that being said, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye bye, Lakers.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that bitch again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go.